So this morning, we are going to pray for everyone that's going back to school. I do want to spend some time with that. I've been in a series in Daniel through the summer. That series actually concludes next Sunday. And this Sunday was Daniel 8 and 9. And so I decided, because of everything else that was going on, I wouldn't go in depth in Daniel 8 and 9 because I knew that meant you guys would get mad at me for being here so long. So I'm doing an abbreviated version of that. This morning, our 8:30 service, I did go in depth in Daniel 8 and 9. So if you were looking forward to hearing about Daniel 8 and 9, we did record that, and we'll put that up at our website and on our YouTube channel and at Facebook. So if you're interested in the more in-depth look at Daniel 8 and 9, you can still get that. I did prepare that. That was for the 8:30 service this morning. We are going to use Daniel, but we're going to just take a couple of themes that have been running through Daniel that I think are important for us to remember as we get ready to go back into our schools. I realize some have already gone back to school, and of course some colleges have already started, but I think there's something important to remind us of that really, in a small way, our gym mission week was trying to get across, that there is a God who does have his way in this world, at least in our lives, and his kingdom does rule and reign in a particular place, at least here at Grace Church, even if his kingdom doesn't rule and reign in the world out there. We know as we've been going through Daniel, we have these empires that are vying for control of the world. And we've seen in the story of Daniel that they've believed they were able to beat Daniel's God, because they took all the stuff out of the temple and now it's in their temple, and that was their way of saying, our gods are more powerful than your gods. And throughout Daniel, Daniel is showing these different empires that that isn't the case, that the God of Israel, Yahweh, is more powerful than you or any of your gods. And they face some different scenarios in which that was revealed, whether it was Daniel's buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being thrown into a fire because they wouldn't bow to this statue and surviving, or Daniel being thrown into a lion's den and the mouths of the lions being closed and Daniel surviving. And all of this was revealing that there is one true God, and that is the God of Daniel. So I want to pick up on this theme as we enter into facing the empire we live in. Now, we don't call it that. We don't use that same word anymore nowadays. It's actually kind of a word that we don't want to use because it has all kinds of negative connotations to it. So we don't say empire. But the stretch and influence of American culture has reached the ends of the earth for sure. I've pretty much been everywhere on the earth, and at least most continents. We don't have any churches in Antarctica, so I'm not planning on traveling there just yet, unless the church gets planted there. But all over the globe, there's the influence of American culture. In our own families, we live and swim in this culture that influences us, pushes us in certain directions, and if we're not careful, it can influence our families, it can influence our communities, it can influence the church. And so there, let's call it a kingdom. There is this kingdom in which we find ourselves, and it's not the one that God set up. It is an alternate kingdom. It's a kingdom that is actually fighting against God's kingdom. And so that's the one that we are swimming in every day. And when we go back to the fall, summer's like our break in that happening, and fall is kind of somewhat of a return to normalcy. I realize that word normal doesn't really mean anything anymore, but fall usually indicates school starting, so schedules are going to be different, vacations are over, things just kind of change. And while maybe summer we were kind of able to exit from that kingdom for a little while and kind of go do our own thing. In the fall, we kind of go full force back into that. At least our kids do when they go back to school and college. The students who are faced with that kingdom and the one that we're trying to proclaim here, that comes right in front of their face again. And so what I want to highlight this morning out of Daniel is a theme that he's been championing this whole time. From chapter 1 all the way to chapter 12, I realize we didn't get there yet, but Daniel's trying to remind us of something very important. And this screen, if you've been coming to Grace Church and you've been following along with this series, this screen should look familiar. You should know by heart what I'm about to put up on this screen. A lot of blank stares out there. All right. Of course, this is what teachers are going to have to get used to, blank stares. In spite of present circumstances that make it appear as if evil is winning the day, God will reign supreme and will have the final victory. This is the story that Daniel has been trying to tell the people he's writing to in Daniel chapter 1 through 12. And through it all, with all that happens, from living in this empire, facing the fiery furnace, facing the lion's den, to chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, where Daniel has all these visions and dreams. In the midst of all that, this is what Daniel is trying to get across. Now, this is an important reality when you live and swim in a kingdom that we live and swim in. We'll call it America. Now, God's setting up his own kingdom with its own set of values, its own set of beliefs, its own ways in which we understand the world, the ways in which we understand what we're seeing happening in the world, the evil we see, the suffering we see. This kingdom is trying to help us have a framework on how we interpret reality. And then it tries to help us, God's kingdom tries to help us understand who we are in light of God's kingdom, in light of who he is, the struggles that we have and why we face them, tries to help us see that our decisions and our choices have implications that go far beyond just what we choose that day might affect our whole life. This other kingdom that God has says that it's going somewhere. It has a destination. This isn't just it. The stuff we see, the material we're looking at, this isn't the end-all, be-all. There's something more. God's kingdom says there's something transcendent over the natural world. And as I said, his kingdom tries to set up these different values. You can hear about all the values of his kingdom through Jesus. All the stuff Jesus says, the teaching that he has, the miracles that he's performing, all of that is God's way of showing the world what his kingdom is like. See, that's what the Jews were supposed to be doing in the Old Testament. They were God's representation of him on this earth. And so it mattered how they represented God, and it mattered to God which kingdom they were going to serve. And now God's representation of himself on this earth is us, is the church. And so it still matters to God which kingdom the people that say, I follow Jesus, are going to serve. And so as we head back to school, college, as you have every day you get up and go to work, you face this. We live in a day and age, just like Daniel's people lived in a day and age, which this empire or kingdom seeks to get your allegiance to it. And if you don't give your allegiance to this kingdom, they have ways of making you give your allegiance to them. One of those ways nowadays is through social media. So you can go from the extent of you say, I'm a part of God's kingdom, and because of that, my value system, these things that I, the way that I live, the things that I think, the way that I interpret the world, causes me to say such things, that there is such a thing as truth and goodness and right and wrong. And so the way that this other alternate kingdom seeks to get your allegiance to it is they can very easily go on this little device here, and they can find you on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and they can start posting things about you. And then they can get all these other people to start doing the same thing. And before you know it, it seems like the whole world is against you. And unless you give your allegiance or bow to this other kingdom, your reputation is destroyed. Maybe your business is destroyed. Maybe people look at you completely different. You might lose friends. There's a lot of stuff that this other kingdom can do to give your allegiance to it. Now, you can take that from, you know, a business or just friends, people that are your friends at school, and you do or say something that they don't like, and now they start texting or Instagram, Facebook, whatever they use now. I know there's every 10 minutes there's a new app coming out that gives you the ability to talk to a lot of people instantaneously. And then it seems like, well, everybody is saying X, Y, or Z. So we live in a challenging time, just like Daniel's folks did. If you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the story about the statue, where Nebuchadnezzar, the king of that day, whatever he said went. There was no questioning. If I say it as Nebuchadnezzar, it happens. And so he builds this nice big statue, and he made it of gold. It looks really pretty, and it's really big. And he says, all right, everybody in my kingdom, you bow to that statue. And so if you remember that message, there was an orchestra, a band. They'd play music to all this. And I used the analogy of when the music stops, everybody was supposed to bow to this statue. It was almost like a Pavlovian response. You hear the music, it ends, and then you kind of bow to that statue. And three guys said, we're not going to do that. And so they don't. The music plays, the music stops, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stay standing. And so that's not good for them, and they're threatened. And the kingdom, or the empire, that demanded their allegiance had ways of making them give their allegiance. And Nebuchadnezzar's way was, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. I'm going to burn you alive. And that was their way. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are faced with this dilemma. Do we give our allegiance to this other kingdom, or do we keep giving our allegiance to God? And one of the verses in chapter 3 of Daniel, verse 18, they're having this interchange with Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king basically said, if you don't do this, you're finished. Either you give your allegiance to me and my kingdom, or you'll be in that fire. And if you remember, we know how hot the fire was. The guys that threw them in got so close that they died because it was so hot. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, then if you don't bow, then what God is going to save you? Because Nebuchadnezzar put himself in the place of God. There is no God on this earth or beyond this earth that can save you three. So if you don't bow, then what God can save you? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say in verse 16, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, even if he doesn't deliver us, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. We will not give allegiance to this other kingdom you are demanding us to bow to. And even if God doesn't deliver us, we still won't do it. Their convictions were so strong that living and swimming, they've been in this culture a long time. They've been swimming in this kingdom a long time too. And they've been fighting against that influence. And it demands their allegiance, and they don't give it. Because at least, if the rule and reign of God doesn't exist on the planet that we see right now, and it's pretty clear that it doesn't, at least completely. But in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life, God's rule and reign, God's kingdom, reigned in their lives. And now all of us get to make that decision as well. While Jesus inaugurated this kingdom when he came, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what Jesus is saying, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, Jesus did that when he was on earth, and now we have an opportunity to do that as well. Maybe God's will isn't done in everybody's life, but as followers of Jesus, it ought to be done in our lives. And when we walk out these doors, you are walking into that alternate kingdom. And when you head back into that school, you're faced with a lot of challenges. That when you're young, you don't think about the profound implications that they're going to have on the rest of your life. But Jesus makes that point. As a part of God's kingdom, your choices today actually matter for all of eternity. That's a pretty long time. And so we're swimming and living in this kingdom that demands our allegiance. And the reason why, this is my own personal thing, the reason why I like to spend time praying for everybody before they go back is because you're going to need a lot of courage to stand up like those guys did. When this other kingdom has a lot of ways to demand your allegiance, sometimes by even using people who say they are your friend, it's going to take a lot of courage to allow God's rule and reign to happen in our own lives. That the choices and the decisions we make reflect what we believe. That the value system that Jesus set up is really the one that we live. And that's challenging, and that takes courage. I know what that looks like. I did that. I gave my allegiance to this other kingdom, and I pretended to give my allegiance to the kingdom that Jesus had set up, thinking I was fooling everybody. And while I was able to put on a pretty good show of what that looked like, there came a time in which I had to say, well, which kingdom is it going to be, Ted? Because Jesus doesn't share allegiance. There is a way that leads to Jesus. It's narrow and the gate is small, Jesus said. To live in this kingdom while we're also living in this other kingdom, to live in Jesus' kingdom, it's going to take a lot of courage. And that's challenging when you're young and you're trying to fit in and you want friends. And their value system looks a lot different than yours. That's challenging when you've got a job and you're there at that job and it doesn't look a lot like the kingdom Jesus has set up. It's challenging. The whole story of Daniel, while it gives us pictures of courage, as we see in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and as I said, all of what we've been going through in Daniel 1 through 7, is Daniel trying to instill in those people that were struggling confidence. Confidence in the God that could save them. Because ultimately, God did save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when he did, Nebuchadnezzar said these words in verse 28 of chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who has anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego," now this was Nebuchadnezzar's thing, "will be cut into pieces and his houses turned into rubble, for no other god can save in this way." He wasn't a really nice guy. "No other God can save in this way. There is no God like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And the stories in Daniel are given the same picture. When Daniel is saved from the lion's den, the king of that time says the same thing. There is no God like Daniel's God. And Daniel uses dreams and visions to relate to the people reading this that is true in the present. And while we see this other kingdom seemingly having their way, and we wonder, is God's kingdom still happening? Is it still victorious? Daniel says, one day it will reign supreme over all the earth. And Christ will return, and we will experience all the goodness God has to offer. And so while you need courage to live in this other kingdom, while not bowing to or giving allegiance to that other kingdom, you can have confidence in the kingdom that Jesus has inaugurated, that he can rule and reign in our lives, and one day we can have the hope that he will rule and reign forever. That's the message of Daniel in a nutshell. And I think it's an important message for us to hear, and why I like to spend some time in prayer prior to going back to school is because I think it's one of the most challenging places in which we're going to have to decide who's going to get my allegiance. And it's wonderful to have these kids stand up here. And Grace Church, part of when our kids who are part of Grace Church family join church, we as a congregation make vows to them. And we say, we're going to do all in our power. We're going to have a facility. We're going to provide programs. We're going to have people. We're going to have our finances. We're going to invest in your life so that when you face that challenge, you're ready to not bow to that statue. And so when we're together for that week and it's fun, and it's a long week, Kim and Jill will, I'm sure, attest to that. I'll attest to that. But it's fun. And it's enjoyable. And it's great to see our kids do what they're doing, which is not what you get to see every day, and oftentimes not what you hear on the news. So it's a beautiful thing to watch. But I remember what those weeks were like, and the patterns that I can easily get into, and the influence that Jesus kind of doesn't have over me anymore when I enter back into that school and I face those same challenges. And if you're going off to college and you're facing professors and teachers who think it's kind of foolish and ridiculous to believe in God or Jesus, I mean, come on. It's challenging out there to give your allegiance to Jesus. So it's important for us. I recognize that as a pastor. I recognize that for my own kids who I'm trying to prepare to navigate a difficult world. That when that statue goes up and that music stops, that they know we don't bow to anyone except Jesus Christ. I know those challenges. And one of the ways in which you and I can help people facing those challenges, specifically our kids facing those challenges, is to pray for them. One of the greatest weapons in our arsenal as followers of Jesus is to go before God's throne and ask him to be with them, to protect them, to help them stand strong when they're faced with these challenges, to help us in that way. And so that's how we're going to close this morning. So typically, I have everybody gather in the center aisle, and we all lay our hands on them, and we can't do that this morning. We're not going to. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to just stand up where you're at in your pew. Go ahead. You can stand up where you're at in your pew. And I'm going to ask you to indulge me. And Daniel is full of symbolism. There's lots of symbolic things that happen in Daniel. And so I'm going to ask you to just lift your hands like this. Just raise your hands where you are. And we are symbolically just laying our hands on our students here. But in a way, you've got probably friends. You've probably got family that are headed back to school. Maybe they're a student, maybe they're a teacher, maybe they're an administrator, but it's been tough trying to get back to school again. I realize that. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom who's now going to be a teacher. There's a lot going on, and I realize that. And so we're just going to keep our hands in the air as long as you can. This is also exercise as well. This is good exercise. You can go like this. This is really good. But we're just going to leave our hands in the air. I'm going to pray, and then we'll close with our worship team singing us out of here. So let's pray. Let's pray for our students. God, thank you for this time. God, I'm thankful for the week that we were able to spend with our kids and what we were able to do for others. And Lord, I do pray they had a lot of fun, but God, I pray that some of the things that we taught and some of the things we learned together, some of the ways in which we were called to treat each other, I pray, Lord, that that continues to come before their thoughts and their mind. God, I pray for the challenges that we are faced with. Lord, we live in a world that demands our allegiance, and they seek to get it from us in lots of different ways. God, I pray that when that music stops, that we would not bow and give our allegiance to that other kingdom, Lord, but that we would live out the kingdom values that Jesus has come to inaugurate. And God, that your rule and reign would at least happen in our lives, in our church, in our families, Lord God, and that each day we might be able to win a little bit more ground for you. God, I pray for all of our students, whether school-aged, college, wherever they're going to be going, Lord, I pray that you would protect them. Lord, I pray that you would give them what they need for this year in school. It's going to be different. It's going to be hard. And God, I most pray that you would be able to give them courage to have confidence in the God that they serve and that they might be able to live with the hope that that brings in the face of difficult times. God, I pray too that you would be with the teachers, the administrators, the people who are serving the school in lots of different ways, whether driving a bus, doing food service. It takes a lot of hands to make it happen, Lord. And I pray your protection upon them as well. But God, everywhere we go as followers of Jesus, we have the opportunity to advance your kingdom just a little bit more by the way we choose to live our life. I pray that for all of our teachers, all of our administrators, all of the employees that are going back into that school and that school system, whatever it is, Lord, that they would have courage to serve you. And God, I pray that we, as followers of Jesus, will allow the rule and reign of God to happen in our lives, in our families, and in this church, Lord. And God, I pray that we might be able to see more people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.